I want to talk to you. Here it is, the 35th anniversary Sunday. And I guess there's always a challenge in a preacher's heart. What do you teach? What do you preach on in the 35th anniversary? So I'm going to teach Sunday school this morning. I'm going to preach in the morning service. And then we're just thrilled, of course, because tonight Pastor Robert Ross is going to preach. And he's the one that preached the very first Sunday of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the beginning Sunday. And it seems good and appropriate, right, that he would preach tonight and close the day out. So an exciting day planned. But as I was thinking about what to teach, the Lord brought me, as I was studying the Bible and reading the Bible and praying, I thought to myself, what is of such importance? What has been the centerpiece of 35 years of ministry here? And, of course, the centerpiece as far as the pulpit ministry and the teaching ministry has been the Word of God. And so I want to just take a little bit of time to teach you teach a lesson on the importance of the Word of God. The importance of the Word of God. We just sang the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I hope that you believe that. That's not just a children's song. That's a great philosophy for life. You ought to love the Bible. You ought to read the Bible, study the Bible, and make it a part of your daily life. Now, we're going to start in Psalm 119, and I don't know how many of these we'll get to. There's a long list here, but I would like to take the verses in the Bible that is about the Bible, and in particular, verses that take an object or something and compare it to the Bible to give us insight on what the Word of God is supposed to do. So we're in Psalm 119, 105. Notice verse 105 there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray and then we'll begin teaching. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing here, all you're going to do. We pray for those that are still making their way in, Lord, for the 10:30 service. Pray for safety for them. We pray, God, that you would be with us now as we teach the Bible. Help us, Lord, to relay, Lord, in very simple terms, the importance of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that if we walked in here, no matter what our view is of the Bible, no matter how much we esteem it, I pray, Lord, that that would be heightened today. I pray for someone who maybe the Bible, honestly, I mean, they respect it and they understand it's God's Word, but it doesn't play much of an active role, active part in their life. I pray, God, that because of what we teach you today, Lord, that that will be corrected, that they'll heighten the importance of the Word of God, activate it, energize it in their life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I brought several things today because we're going to fill this table by the end of the day with different objects, different things that we are taught teach us a little bit about what the Bible is and its importance. Now, I bought this $1 flashlight, and I'm praying that it works. You know, when you go to the dollar store, you buy what you get. I was excited that I was able to contribute to the economy of China, and so I bought that. It seems like everything you buy, you contribute to these. But this is a very simple illustration, very simple object. How many of you have a flashlight in your house? How many of it has dead batteries in the flashlights you have at your house? Absolutely. I don't even know why we have them. Every time we need them, we go, we turn it on, and we go, stink, you know. But a flashlight's awful handy. A flashlight, in certain circumstances, becomes very vital. If you've lost electricity, I heard some of you didn't have electricity this morning. Somebody out of electricity? But you look nice. I'm telling you, did okay. We had that earthquake the other day. Remember that? What a rude awakening that was. Sometimes we have inclement weather. Where we live, not as bad now, but when we first moved in there, it seemed like every time the wind would blow, our electricity would go off. A lot of times in the middle of the night. You know, folks, when you get into darkness, you need a light. You try to go very far walking through the dark without a light. I'm talking about without any light. You know what? Where you thought you were heading, pretty soon you're not going to be going there. You're going to be off track. You're going to run into things. You're going to trip over things. You're going to get hurt. Amen? And so one of the things that we learn about the Bible is that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, I'm going to build a case today, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on each one of these objects. But what I want to do is try to convince you in the, 35 minutes we have here of the importance of the Bible. Brother Jerry, why do I need the Word of God in my life? Why is it important to get up every morning? Brother Jerry, what did you do this morning? Well, the alarm went off. I went, I turned it off. It's been a busy week. I sat on the edge of my bed, prayed for the rapture. That didn't happen. And so I decided I had to come get up and get busy. So I got up and took a shower so I could get myself awake, put a pot of coffee on, and headed right to my recliner. And I reached over, and the first book that I touch every morning is this book right here. And I get my glasses, I get my coffee so I can get awake and start reading the Word of God. Well, why do you do that? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a dark world. I'll tell you why. Because there's snares along the pathway. The Bible talks in Proverbs about the snares of death and about Satan and his setting of snares in our life. And it's so easy to think that you're on the right path. Have you ever been traveling somewhere and thought you were on the right road? And all of a sudden, instead of arriving in Cincinnati, you see an arch, a large arch, You went the wrong way. You can think that you're on the right road, but you know what? If you don't have lights, you don't know for sure. And so I want to stay on the right path. Why? Why daddies? Why husbands? Because we have children following us. Because we're responsible to guide our family. And so I can't go through a day. Because every day, folks, is another segment of the journey. And honestly, what I want to stir your hearts about today is every day that you walk life's path without this book, you walked in darkness. Every day you walked down the road, you may be on the right path, you may not, but you're not going to know if you don't have the Word of God. And so the Word of God in this dark world helps you to see and watch, and it helps you to become aware of tricks and traps and counterfeit paths. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And so many times we look at a path and maybe there's a fork in the road and we're trying to decide where we ought to go. And maybe this looks right, but it's hard to discern. And this light here will guide you. And by the way, it might not hurt to shine it way down the end of the path and see what's on the end of that path. Sometimes the beginning of something looks good, but the end's not very good. So here's the first item that I want to present to you and share with you, that the Bible is a light, it's a lamp, and it will help guide you down the path of life. Now go to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Again, we're just going to touch these and run, and then I want to bring them all together at the end, and I hope I can help you. Now, folks, spiritually, we live in a dark world. Spiritually, we need the light. We need the lamp, or we're going to get off track. That's just the way it is. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Notice this. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now another object that I'm going to grab real quick. The Bible teaches us about itself is it compares, God in his word compares the Bible to a two-edged sword. Now, first of all, I need to reach for that Bible every morning. And by the way, I need to be in Sunday school. I need to be in Sunday morning preaching. I need to be in Sunday night, Wednesday night Bible study, You know why? Because I need a weapon. Now, every single day, folks, you're going to walk a path. And along that path, there's going to be snares. And if you don't have a light, you're going to step in one of those snares. You're going to get off the track thinking you're going the right way, and you're going to be heading the wrong way. And let me tell you why. What else you need. You also need the value of the Bible as far as providing you a weapon for defense. Now, folks, listen to me. The Word of God is quick, the Bible says. That means it's alive. That means it's a living, breathing book. It works together. It flows. The same person that authored, Genesis authored Revelation. He said, no, Brother Jerry, I think that was Moses and John. No, it was God. It was God. I told somebody the other day, if you stick a pin in Genesis, Revelation will howl. Amen? I mean, it all flows together. It's alive. This is a living, breathing book. It's quick. And it's powerful. How many of you would attest to the fact that the Word of God has had a powerful effect in your life, a powerful change in your life? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I'll try to talk to somebody and use Jerry Ross logic and Jerry Ross reason, and I can't get anywhere with them. But it's amazing. When I pull out this book and begin to read the words of this book, it's amazing how all of a sudden what I couldn't get across, the Word of God would pierce, and the Word of God begins to do that spiritual surgery in the hearts of each and every one of us, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces, the Bible says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. And that's interesting. That's the triune man. That's our three parts, our spirit, our soul, and our body. You know what? There's nothing that the Bible does not affect. This book affects you physically. This book and its truth will affect you spiritually. It'll affect you mentally. It'll affect you emotionally. Why are so many people battling in so many areas? Why are the psychologists they have waiting lists. What is going on? Listen, this book is what you need. This book affects every part of your body. Now, I want to be very honest with you and tell you, you're not going to handle this book, and you're not going to be around this book without getting cut. Say, Brother Jerry, it sounds dangerous. Oh, don't worry. The knife is in the hands of Almighty God. It's in the hands of the master surgeon. And you know what? A cut's not always a bad thing. For some of you that have gone under the knife and you've had something in your body that needed to be removed, you know what? Somebody with a knife was one of the best friends you had. It maybe wasn't all that enjoyable. And you know what? Maybe you had to take some time to recover from it. But in the long run, you are better for it. And let me say this, folks. I don't understand how people, preachers, can get behind a pulpit 52 weeks a year and never cut anybody. I don't want to go to a church and sit where I could sit for 52 weeks and never get cut. Listen, folks, we need to start wielding the sword instead of peddling cotton candy from our pulpits, amen? This book's good for us. This sword, listen, it's God's Word. Anything it cuts out of you needed to be cut out of you. Anything it does, it trust me, it needed to be done. Lord, hack away, hack away. I know there's a lot of what's in Jerry Ross and a lot of parts of Jerry Ross. You know what? It just stands in the way of doing things that I need to do for God. And so the Bible is compared to, in the Bible, is a sword. So there we go. Now you've got a light. Now you've got a sword if you've got a Bible. Now you think of how many Americans, how many people that profess to be Christians, they go through life and they never touch this book. They're busy every weekend. They can't make it to Wednesday night. And they're wandering in darkness, and they are at the mercy of the adversary. The Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you're going to get down the road some, you're going to wish at times in your life you had a sword, and if you don't, you're going to get tore up. Amen? So thank God for the Bible. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. 35 years. Brother Jerry, what's going on around this place? I don't know much about it. Maybe you're a visitor. Maybe you don't have much of a history here. 35 years, what's going on at this place? Well, I'll tell you what. We've spent a lot of time shining the light. We've spent a lot of time wielding the sword. What we've done is we've tried to take the Word of God and we've tried to preach it and present it and give it to folks. And get them into reading it and memorizing it and living by it. You know why? Because the safest, best way that you can live is with the Word of God. Now, let me show you in verse number 29, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 29. Now, the Lord is talking to Jeremiah. I wish I could give you all of the background of this story. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a preacher of the gospel. In chapter 1, he was called to be a prophet unto the nations. In chapter number 3, we find out, we're introduced to the congregation of Jeremiah. And the Bible talks about the hardness of their heart, the hardening of their faces. He was not sent to preach to a very receptive crowd. Jeremiah never had a convert. Jeremiah was laughed at, mocked at, thrown in prison, thrown in a miry pit. I mean, he was probably one of the most mistreated preachers in the entire Bible. But so Jeremiah was called, and there was excitement with that call, and all of a sudden he met his congregation, and he lost a little bit of that zeal. And then the Bible even talks about the confusion of Jeremiah, where he began to argue with the Lord. And he began to say, wait a minute, Lord, you called me to preach. You know, have you deceived me? Have you tricked me? I mean, here you called me to be a prophet, and I thought I'd go out and just preach the Bible, and everybody'd want to do it. You know, I remember when I was that, 18 years of age, when I got called to preach, I thought, good, man, all I got to do is go out there and open the Bible and preach, and people are gonna that aren't saved are going to get saved. People that aren't right are going to get right. I mean, how in the world could you resist this book? But the honest truth is, a lot of folks do. And so Jeremiah is a little bit discouraged when we get to chapter 23. So God is giving Jeremiah a lesson about the Bible. And it's interesting because God says to Jeremiah in verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And then it goes on to say this, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. So we see the word of God is like a lamp. We see that the word of God is like a sword. And then the Bible says that the word of God is like a fire. Now, what does that mean, Brother Jerry? Well, it means just what it says. That is fire. Amen. Boy, it scared me to death. I didn't think it was going to light. Amen. Like some of my messages, some of them kind of go, you know, and some of them just, you know, like that, you know. But you know what this Bible is? Brother Jerry, you've shown us that this a Bible is light. Yeah. It's a sword. Yes. Be careful. Don't get cut. But it's also fire. Notice, not just a lamp, but fire. Not just light. Fire. Now, what's interesting, let me just teach you a lesson here that I hope will help you in your Christian life. The Bible says in Proverbs that the spirit of man is as the candle of the Lord. The spirit, your reborn spirit, if you're saved, is as the candle of the Lord. You know what the fire is supposed to do to the candle? It's supposed to light it. Amen? And that's why we come and hear preaching. You know what? This morning, what my hope is this morning is that what I give you from the Bible. Have we read Bible verses this morning? Are we teaching the Bible this morning? You know what? The fire of God's here. And if your spirit is as the candle of the Lord, and the condition of your spirit's up to you. If your spirit is as the candle of the Lord, I guarantee you when fire comes in contact with a candle, a light's going to go on. Flames are going to burst and somebody's going to be burning brightly. Now, this is the condition of the Christian that stays right with God. This is the condition of the Christian that grows in the Lord. I mean, this morning when I opened my Bible, I said, Lord, help my spirit to be as a candle. Lord, I'm about to come in contact with the flame. Lord, light me up this morning. And so I want something begin to burn, and Jeremiah said this back in Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9 when he was going through that time of confusion, was tempted to quit the ministry, and he even said, you know what, I'm going to quit. But then he said, did not thy word burn as a fire within me? And Jeremiah, he kept his heart right, he kept his heart tender, and because of that, when the word of God was preached to him, you know what? The light came on. By the way, why do I need to come back? If I come Sunday morning, why do I need to come back Sunday night? Because I guarantee you, you walk out into this world for more than an hour or two, and remember what we just sang? Don't let Satan do what? That's right. It seems like, you know what? I'll get on fire for the Lord, and man, I'll hear the sermon, and it'll light me up, and boy, it seems like before I can get in Sunday night sometimes, the fire's not as intense. So I want to, you know what I want? I want the fire of God again in my life. Now, what am I going to do between then and Wednesday? Walk around with a candle out? No, you better be in your Bible. You better read your Bible. I'm talking about more than one verse in each morning. I'm talking about making it a part of your life. Because that's what keeps you hot. That's what keeps you burning. Now, if you don't do that, you're going to get cold. Because we're not just talking about light, we're talking about heat. Why is it some Christians just, I mean, you know what? You see some Christians, and I'm not talking about these flash in the pans. I'm not talking about getting excited for 3 months and all of a sudden you can't find them again. Why is it that some Christians just burn and burn? I mean, every time you get around them, there's a zeal, there's an intensity, there's an excitement about the things of God. They want to talk to you about something they read in the Bible or something they learned or a sermon that, you know why? Because they stay around the flame. They stay around the flame. And if you don't, you know what? The honest truth is, spiritually, you're just going to get cold. You're going to get cold. There's no way to prevent it. So this book is a fire. That's what God is teaching Jeremiah. He's saying, Jeremiah, here's the thing. When you preach, it's like fire. But he was saying this. He was saying, you know what? The people, they got to bring a candle. There was nothing wrong with what Jeremiah was doing. He was doing what God called him to do. He was preaching the Bible. So he was bringing on the fire. But let me show you what the situation was. And this is a sad thing, but it's just true. The situation in Israel at this time was that the people, because the Bible even talks about their hearts and their faces being hard as a rock. Now, let me show you something. I want to teach you something mighty important about preaching. When I come in here this morning, I've got the Word of God, I've studied, I've prepared, and I'm going to give you the Bible. If you bring a candle, the fire's here. But let me tell you what happens a lot of times in a lot of church services and a lot of churches, almost every Sunday it seems to happen. Here comes the preacher with the Bible. Here comes the preacher with the Bible. Come on, folks. Come on, man. God loves you. There's souls dying and going to hell. Come on. Let's live right. Let's do right. You know what? It's not going to light. Is there anything wrong with the flame? Nothing wrong with the fire. What's wrong is that you didn't bring a candle. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of man is as the candle of the Lord. If we don't keep our heart tender to preaching, if we don't stay hungry, if we don't say, God, listen, I don't want to just sit here. I want to be lit up. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. That's what the song says. If we don't have that intensity, we've got to be careful. We get cold and then we get hard. Next thing you know, we walk in and we've already decided before we sit down. It doesn't matter what the man's going to say. I'm going to walk out of here the same way I walked in here. You get into that condition and you know what? All of a sudden, the Bible stops being a fire in your life. You see, it's interesting. The Bible says here that is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And this is what the Word of God becomes in your life. All of a sudden, instead of being that warm fire that's there to light your heart and set you aflame for Christ, it begins to change in the way that it's used here. And you go to church, and you know what? The preacher preaches, and it feels like this. I wish you'd stop hammering us all the time. Well, bring a candle. Bring a candle. I'm going to be ugly transparent with you today. I've gone through portions and times in my life when I'm telling you it seemed like every time I went to church all I did was get hammered. I thought the preacher was following me around. I thought he had our car bugged, our house bugged. I thought somebody was spying on us. Every single time I come to church, the guy was hammering on me. But you know what? Part of the problem was I was bringing a rock. And the fire's here. If you bring a candle, you're going to start glowing. If you bring a rock, you know what? Pieces of rock will start busting off because you know what? The Word of God's going to go forward and it's going to do. So Jeremiah, you're wasting your time. No, just listen. If they won't give you a candle, then just pull out the hammer and just go to hammering, brother. And hammer and hammer and hammer and hammer and break some rocks in pieces and do some things. And so listen, folks, ideally what we want is for the Word of God to be in our lives a fire. But how many of you would say with me, come on, I'm not the only person that's been there. How many of you say, Brother Jerry, there's times in my Christian life the Word of God was like a hammer. Now, here's what some of us tend to do. This is what some of us tend to do. We'll go, let's see. What am I going to bring today? Let's see what he's going to preach on. Oh, yeah, I like that subject. Okay, amen, preacher, amen, light me up. Then we come back Sunday night, wonder what he's going to preach on. Oh, he's going there. See, most of it's not like we either have a candle or we have a rock. We got both, and it depends on which one we want to pull out for what service or what sermon. And so, you know what, to this day, I like to think that I always walk around with this candle. But I do find myself in some services where I realize, man, I'm getting hammered again, you know. You know why? Because we need it. You know why? Thank God for it. You know what? I've had people, and we've got some gracious folks go to this church. And they come out the door, and they've shook my hand, and they looked at me and said, Preacher, you beat me up bad today. And I'm kind of looking like, and they say, and then you know what they say? Thank you. Thank you. Let the Word of God work in your heart. You know what? There's some old, hard areas of our life that we have to have busted up. And if we don't, then you know what? We're just going to not grow much. We're not going to glow much. We're not going to be much of a light for Jesus Christ. So you know what I say? Lord, light the candle and break up the rock in my life and just let the Word of God do whatever it needs to do in my life today. Amen. Hope that helps you. Now, the good part, because I haven't had breakfast. Oh, yes, yes. Look at this. I wish there were donuts in there. Amen. I couldn't find a verse that said the Word of God was likened to Dunkin' Donuts, or I would have... 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read all of these because of time, and then we'll pull all of these last three together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, thank God for the Bible. I mean it, folks. Thank God for the Bible. What is it? It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a sword so that it can not only do what it needs to in my life, but I can use it to defend myself. It's a fire. And thank God even when it's a hammer. 1 Peter chapter 2. I need to get there. Verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 2. It talks about the Bible as being the milk of the Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. So the Bible's compared to milk. Okay, so keep that in mind. We're going to read a couple more verses. Now we're going to go to John chapter number 6. I wish I had time to develop. We could spend the whole morning in John chapter number 6. But let me just read a couple of things here. John chapter number 6 and verse number 32. John chapter number 6. And verse number 32. Verse number 31 talks about the manna that was given to Israel, the manna that came out of heaven. Verse 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, if you will, jump over with me to verse number 54. Notice what it says here. It talks about him being the bread of life. Notice what he says. Now, listen, this is why we could spend all morning in this. It's somewhat complex. Don't be turned off for what you hear. Listen to the explanation. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live again. You say, Brother Jerry, the Bible is saying that Jesus is the bread of life. I agree with that. Can I say this? Jesus also in the Bible is equated to the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Brother Jerry, these are kind of odd verses. How do you eat Jesus? You eat Jesus when you feast upon His Word. Bible says in Revelation that when He comes in the clouds, across His chest will be written the Word of God. You can't separate Jesus from the Bible. I say this a lot, but I like what Brother Russ, Gail Russ, said. He said if you could take Jesus and turn Him into the book, you'd have the King James Bible. If you took the King James Bible and turned it into a person, you'd have Jesus Christ. That's, boy, that ought to help you. You know what? The way you treat this Bible is the way you treat Jesus. Do you reverence it? Do you love it? Do you ignore it? Do you respect it? Do you obey it? Do you disobey it? The way a person treats this book, I promise you, is the same way they treat the Savior. And so that's why the Word of God is so important, and it becomes bread of the bread of life. So we have milk, and we have bread, and the milk is for who? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. So when you're a new Christian, you're born into the family of God. You become a babe in Christ. Boy, I never had such a loaf of bread that was double wrapped like this. Honey, why don't we buy this kind of bread? She's not in here, is she? I think it's because I don't give her enough money and she has to go to Aldi's. I think that's why. which is fine. So we have bread. The Word of God is bread, and the Word of God is milk. Man, I'm getting hungry here. All right, let's go on. Just a second, I'm going to eat. So I wish I had enough to share. Sorry. Hebrews chapter number 5. I want a toaster and a little butter and peanut butter, strawberry jam. Man alive, we're going to have a revival here. Hebrews chapter number 5. Blackberry, homemade blackberry preserves. I'm telling you what. Say, I don't like the seeds, give them to me. I'll take it all. Hebrews, man, this is sounding good today. Hebrews chapter number 5. Notice verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are. Well, this is a convicting portion of Scripture. He says, dull of hearing. You know what the preacher's saying here? He said, there's a lot of things I'd like to share with you, but you know what? You can't hear them. He said this, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of what? Strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, let me share something with you that's just awesome. And then we're going to dismiss in just a minute here, but don't miss this. You know what the Word of God is? The Word of God is nourishment. Thank God for that. The Word. What did I do with my knife? Where is it? By the bread. Thank you. Amen. All right, good. I hate it when my wife's not here to find this stuff. I lose. All right. Ooh, look at this. This is the Johnsonville Original Summer Sauce. I'll be in my office. I won't be able to see anyone right after the service. How many of you like summer sauce? You like summer sauce? If you don't, then we're going to have an invitation in a little while here. Come on forward and get right with the Lord. Look at this. We got meat. I wish I could find a verse about cheese. I like cheese with my cheese bread, crackers, yellow peppers. Amen. All right. Hey, see this? Look at that. You getting hungry? When's the last time you read your Bible? How many weeks do you go without reading your Bible? Let me ask you, and I'm not here to hurt anybody. How in the world can you stay out of church for a month at a time? You know what? You can feed an army on this. No. I guarantee you. Can't you, Brother Ron? This will sustain an army. This will sustain a marching army. You give somebody meat and bread and milk, and you know what? That's what I'm saying. You know what? You can't grow an army on cotton candy. In the average church, you know what they want? They want this, but they don't even want this. They want you to get a blender, pour it in there, put ice cream and chocolate, and make milkshakes. And then we wonder why the Christian realm were so weak. You cannot field an army and keep them strong on milkshakes. So the Word of God, you know what it is for the newborn Christian? It's milk. You know why? Because newborn Christians desire and need the sincere milk of the Word. And you know what? You need to just learn the basics. You need the easy stuff. You need to learn those things. But you know what? You don't need to spend your life on the bottle. And at some point, you mothers know this, we switch from this to this. We switch on stuff that's easily digestible but has some more substance, some more fiber, some more nutrients. And finally, you know what? You're cutting up little pieces of hot dog and makes this grandpa a nervous wreck. I'm serious. I got this phobia about my Ariana choking. And they were feeding her hot dogs. When I thought, I don't think a kid ought to try to eat a hot dog until they're 14 or 15. You know, I'm afraid. Especially if they're my granddaughter, I don't want her choking on. So it just makes me a nervous wreck. But the honest truth is, you know what? This will feed men. You want to get men to come to a certain location? Start grilling meat. Men just smell meat grilling, and you know what? You know, whether they're invited or not, they're there standing with a plate, you know. So, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. You know what? You're going to be walking a path this week, and you know what? You're going to need a lamp. And you know what? There's an adversary out there, so you better carry a weapon. And by the way, you know what? What's going on inside of your heart? You need to be on fire for God. Listen, we can't afford to have a bunch of deadhead, lukewarm, ice-cold Christians wandering around this earth. There's too many people that need to be saved. So we need the fire of God lighting in our hearts. So why? So we will glow, so it'll shine outside of us, what's inside of us. And by the way, along the way, if you're going to have stamina, then you need milk, and you need bread, and you need meat. And if you'll just every day say, Brother Jerry, you know what? I've lived enough of my life away from this book. I've tried to do it without these things in my life. You know what? Here's what I always ask people. How's that going? I've been there, done that. How's that going? That don't go very well. But you give a Christian a lamp, and you give them a sword. You give a Christian some fire in their soul, and you give them some substance to sustain their spiritual life. And you know what? You'll come back here next year and they'll be here. You'll come back the next year and they'll still be there. They'll still be teaching their Sunday school class. They'll still be on their bus route. And if they're not here, they'll be somewhere else serving the Lord. They're going to go for the long haul. So this book is what we wanted to emphasize here on our 35th anniversary. We've done it for 35 years. The importance of the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the food I'm about to partake of. In Jesus' name, amen.